To take our thought this morning from two passages of Scripture. These passages will not be our text, but this will be our thought. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and also the book of 1 John chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, we read, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. By whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And notice, and truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The subject of both of those verses, as we can see, is fellowship with God. Fellowship with God is something that is absolutely amazing. It's something that is wonderful, extraordinary. And what is said in those two verses that we just read serve as an encouragement to fellowship with God, serve as an exhortation to have fellowship with God, and also serve as a reminder that we can have fellowship with God. Our lives are lived in these bodies of flesh, lived in a world that is filled with difficulty, filled with need, filled with sorrow, trials, and tribulations, and burdens. And for the vast majority of people, life is not what they want. Life is very unfulfilling to most. To most, life is empty, with not a whole lot of meaning. It is with no lasting satisfaction. Most spend their lives wandering in endless circles, living in defeat, living in bondage, living lives of frustration. And you just look around today, people are frustrated. They live lives of exasperation, dysfunction is everywhere today. Chaos, turmoil, unrest. That pretty much describes the life of most. But life for the child of God does not have to be that way, nor should it be that way. For you and I that are saved, our lives certainly should not be mundane, certainly should not be what the world considers ordinary or normal. Normal today is dysfunctional. Our lives can and should be magnificent. It should be delightful. We should find our lives very stimulating and even thrilling. Far, far above what is considered ordinary today. Because you see, our lives can be lived in fellowship with God. This fellowship with God involves nearness to God. It involves you and I receiving from God, and then you and I giving back to God. This fellowship with God includes an ongoing knowledge of God. It includes an ongoing experience of the Lord. It is an ongoing communion with God. What a life! Fellowship with God means that we share in the interest of God. This fellowship with God is an ongoing friendship. An ongoing friendship with the Lord. An ongoing togetherness. And an ongoing identification with God Himself. This fellowship with God is an ongoing walk with God. This is not something that we just do every now and then. Fellowship with God ought to describe our life. It ought to be our life. It is an ongoing thing. And though we all know that life consists of a variety of events, a wide variety of happenings, a wide variety of circumstances, a wide variety of incidents, a wide variety of people, a wide variety of places, and a wide variety of experiences. But through it all, we can have fellowship with God. And that ought to be our life. Through all the sorrows, through all the afflictions and adversities, we can have fellowship with God. Through all the losses, and people suffer loss, but people lose more than they really are aware of. God's people lose so much. And that's another message. Through all the disappointments, through all the temptations and battles and struggles, we can have fellowship with God. Life is in a constant flux of change. There is changes going on in our families. Children grow up, children move out. People get older. People's health goes away. There's always change going on. There's changes going on in the health. Changes perhaps that go on in careers. Relationships go through many changes. Changes in our overall circumstances. But through it all, we can have fellowship with God. From 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, we see that we are called to a life of fellowship with God. What a blessing that God has called me, that God has called you into fellowship with Himself. And this is an everyday call. Every minute of everyday call. Fellowship with God. Can we say with John in 1 John 1 and verse 3, truly? I mean, how many can say this? Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Did you talk to Him this morning? Did you talk to Him yesterday? truly our fellowship is with God. Oh, how far below we live of the lives that God has called us to live. I want to speak this morning on the life that we can live. Talking to God's people. And it is a life of fellowship with God. We'll take our text this morning from Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And in this chapter, we're just going to read the first 13 verses. But I believe what we see here is fellowship with God is illustrated. As we look through this and as we consider this life that we are called to live, this life that is possible for you and I to live, I ask you, are you familiar with such a life? Do you know anything about such a life? Can you say, truly, my fellowship is with the Lord? So let's read Song of Solomon 2. We'll read the first 13 verses. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor wake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Fellowship with God is illustrated very clearly in these verses. We want to see 10 illustrations, 10 characteristics of this fellowship with God as we find it here in these 13 verses. We're not going to spend a lot of time on any of them, but I hope it just gives us an idea of what it means to fellowship with the Lord. We see in verses 1 and 2, in verses 1 and 2, the bridegroom is speaking. In Song of Solomon, you have two main characters. You have a bridegroom and you have a bride. I believe the bridegroom represents Jesus Christ. I believe the bride represents his church. But I believe we can make application beyond the church. We can make application to all of God's people. But we see here in verses 1 and 2, and this is where fellowship. This is where this fellowship began. It is the bridegroom that speaks in verses 1 and 2. He reveals himself and he expresses his love and his thoughts to her. Do you know anything about that? Do you live every day and God comes upon the scene and reveals himself He says, I am. I am the rose of Sharon, the lily among the valleys. He comes and he reveals himself as the incomparable one. I am the rose of Sharon. A part of fellowship with God is God presenting himself to us. Are you familiar? Are you familiar with God presenting himself to you? Can you look at your life and go through the days and just God presents himself? That's fellowship. That's fellowship with God. So many of God's people go through the day without ever seeing God. That's because they're out of fellowship with him. But this fellowship begins with God revealing himself. Oh, to awake in the morning and hear that voice, I am. I am. And to go through the events of the day and hear that voice over and over and over again, I am. And then he presents himself. This unveiling and expression of the Lord serves as a stimulus in our life. It is an inducement in our life. There may be times when you feel like giving up. There may be times when you feel like quitting. And then God shows up and all he has to say is, I am. And now you're stimulated. Are you familiar with this? More importantly, does this describe your life? Every single day, is there a presentation of God to you? He not only presented himself, he expressed himself. He said who he was, and then he began to talk about her. He said, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. He expressed his love to her. Do you know about that today? Living day by day, God revealing himself, God expressing his love to you. Secondly, in verse 3, she begins to speak now. There is a recognition and appreciation of his person and an expression of love to him. Again, it begins, he reveals himself. He expresses himself. And then she expresses her appreciation of his person. And she begins to express her love to him. Verse 3, it says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. When he says, I am, he reveals himself as the incomparable one. And now she says, he's without equal. He's without equal. He's beyond compare. He surpasses everything. He's irreplaceable. And she goes on and she's basically saying, I cherish him. I treasure him. He's of immeasurable worth. A part of fellowship with God is for us to express to him how precious he is to us. It is a recognition and appreciation of him that changes our viewpoint. Once God reveals himself and expresses himself, and now you begin to express to him what he means to you. Your whole view of a day has changed. Your whole perspective has changed. Many of God's people, their viewpoint is awful. Their perspective is no different than the world. Their attitude and their feelings are no different than the world. That's because they do not live in fellowship with God. She also expressed that he was the love of her life. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved. Her heart is fixated upon him. That's fellowship with God. He's everything to her. A part of fellowship with God is for you and I to express our love to him. How many days have you gone and you forgot to say or did not even think to say, Lord, I love you. Love you, Lord. That's part of fellowship with God. It's for you and I to express our feelings. Part of fellowship with God is for our life to be an expression of love to God. Do you know anything about it? You know anything about God revealing himself, expressing himself every day? I'm not asking if you've ever experienced that. If you're a child of God, there have been times when you experienced that. That's not what I'm asking you. Is this your life? This ought to be our life. This is the way we ought to live in fellowship with God. Thirdly, and this just keeps growing as you go through this, it just keeps getting better and better and better. There is a personal experience of rest and refreshment from the Lord. Notice in verse 3, she says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He presents himself, he expresses himself, she expresses herself, and now she draws near. I sat down. That shows satisfaction, contentment, and pleasure. I sat down under his shadow. She is experiencing the Lord as her shade. Do you know anything about that? Do you know what it means to sit in the shade of God? That's fellowship with God. I sat down under his shadow. That needs to be viewed in light of what was said in verse 6 of chapter 1. She says, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. And now, she's not under the beating sun. She's sitting in his shade. And in so doing, she experienced release from weariness. She experienced peace. She experienced security. I sat down under his shade. Oh, the sense of security. She felt his strength. She had assurance. This is fellowship with God. Are you familiar with that? Do you take some time every single day to sit in his shade? Just sit in his shade. Does that describe our life? Notice, you see, sitting in his shade, there was refreshment. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. She couldn't experience that until she got near. She couldn't experience that until she sat under his shade. And it was as if while she's sitting there under the shade of that tree, the apples just began to fall. And she says, his fruit was sweet to my taste. Now I believe his fruit is simply what God offers us. Oh, read through the Word of God. God's offers to you and I are unbelievable. They're amazing. But you can't live your life any way you please and partake of the offers of God. You taste and you experience the offers of God living in fellowship with Him. Sitting in His shade. As you draw near and abide in His shade, you develop a taste for what He offers. It's something we need to examine. What do we have a taste for? What do we have a taste for? As we go through a day, what do we have a taste for? You see, when you live in fellowship with God, you develop a taste for whatever it is that He offers. Are we familiar with this kind of living? Fourthly, there is the experience. Again, she's sitting under His shade, partaking of His fruit. And then there is the experience of His effectual power. Again, I believe there's a specific order here. And it just keeps getting better and better and better. Verse 4 says, He brought me. She's now experiencing His power. He brought me. That is, He caused me to move in a particular direction. He led me. He made something happen. He brought me. Sitting in His shade, partaking of His offers. And now she comes under His power. He brought me. She can feel herself being moved by Him. He brought me. Do you know anything about that? You can feel yourself being moved by God. That ought to be a daily occurrence. We see God revealing Himself, expressing Himself. We express ourselves to God. We sit in His shade. We partake of His fruits. And then suddenly we come under His power. And we're being moved and we're being carried along by God. Can you think of a better way to live a life? To be carried along by God. Oh, the trouble that you will avoid. The disasters that you will avoid if you just spend some time in His shade until He moves in your life. He brought me. She's under His power. This is fellowship with God. This is what it means to have fellowship with God. It means that God is now a driving force in our lives. He brought me. He's the driving force. Are we familiar with this? Does this describe your life? If you're here and saved and this does not describe your life, you're living far, far below where you can live. Fifthly, there was a feast set before her. He brought me to the banqueting house. Notice it does not say He sent me to the banqueting house. That's not what it says. It says He brought me. That is, together we went to the banqueting house. In the banqueting house, we are together. Now, I believe there's a big difference. She's under the tree, sitting in the shade of that tree. The apples fall down. She partakes of the apple. She then comes under the power of God, and she's brought from the shade of that tree, from eating the fruit of that tree, to a banqueting house. Now, I may not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but I can see a difference between an apple and a banquet. You see, it just keeps getting better and better and better. She's brought to the banqueting house. That speaks of plentifulness. The Lord has prepared a feast for you and I. I believe every single day of my life, there is a banqueting house. Every single day of my life, God prepares a feast for me. And I develop a taste for that sitting in His shade under the apple tree. And it's there we come under His power. And He brings us to this feast. When I see the Word of God sitting on my desk, I don't just view that as a book. In that book is a banquet. There's a banquet there. There's a feast in that book. This is fellowship with God. Being brought to the banqueting house. And again, she didn't find this feast among the trees of the wood that she mentioned there in verse 3. But it's as we sit under His shadow that we come under His power, and then He brings us to the feast. Are you familiar with such? The problem with many of God's people, they're feasting upon the filth of this world rather than feasting in the banqueting house. Sixthly, again, it just keeps getting better and better and better. In verse 4, there is the feeling of the presence of His love. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was over her. His banner over me was love. She felt the presence of Him. She felt the presence of His love. And now she's living in the awareness of His love. Remember, the chapter begins, verse 2 there, with the Lord expressing His love. It is now advanced from God expressing His love to her feeling the presence of His love. His banner over me was love. She's now living under the influence of His love. This is fellowship with God. This is how we are to live. Are you familiar? Are you familiar with this? I'm not asking you, have you experienced this at some time in your life? I'm sure you have. But are you going to be satisfied with that? Oh, I remember 5 years ago I experienced that. Does that satisfy you? Well, I remember one day last week I experienced that. Does that satisfy you? I know it doesn't. This ought to be our life every day. His banner over me was love. You live in the reality and you live in the awareness of His love. And there are a lot of things you just can't do because you feel His love. How can I sin against this one who loves me so? Then notice verse 5. This is the seventh characteristic of fellowship with God. There is a prayer for His sustaining. You see, you and I are so weak that even when we come under His power and we're brought to the banqueting house and we're feeling His love, we're still very prone to fall. And I believe she began to sense that. In verse 7, she says, "Stay me, flagons, comfort me with apples." To stay means to stop from falling. It means to prop up, to hold up. She's saying, "Lord, keep me from falling. Prop me up. Hold me up." To comfort means to support. "Lord, support me. Reassure me. Calm me. Cheer me." So there is the realization of weariness. This world is powerful. And even when we experience what she's experienced up to this point, we can get weary. We get weak. And there's always the danger of falling. There's always the need of help. So she pleads, "Lord, help me." This is fellowship with God. Eighthly, in verse 6, "His left hand is under my head, and His right hand doth embrace me." She feels, again, this is right after her prayer, she now feels His concern. She feels His kindness. "His left hand is under my head. With the right hand, He embraces me, He draws me closer." This is fellowship with God. This is what we've been called into. Are you familiar with this? Can you identify with what is being said here? Does this describe your life? And then ninthly, there is the voice of God. Verse 8, "The voice of my beloved." Exclamation mark. "The voice of my beloved." Exclamation mark. Verse 10, "My beloved spake." "My beloved spake and said unto me." But I like reading verse 8 over and over. "The voice of my beloved." Again, exclamation mark. That voice brought thrill. There are many voices. There are many voices all around us as we walk through the world. Do this, go here, go there. Think this, buy this, sell this. There's constant voices. But all the voice, in the midst of all of those voices, the voice of my beloved. My sheep hear my voice and know my voice. This is fellowship with God. It is living our lives thrilled to hear that voice. The voice of my beloved. This is fellowship with God. Again, verse 10, my beloved spake. And he didn't just talk, he said unto me. That's personal. That's fellowship with God. Personal interaction with the Lord. What did he say? He said, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Twice we read those words in verse 10, and come away. Again in verse 13, and come away. But notice that voice brought arousal. Rise up, my loved one. My love, my fair one. Rise up! That voice gets us up. That voice keeps us going. The voice of my beloved with an exclamation point. Then notice those words. He not only arouses up, rise up! He says, come away. Come away. Every single day, God invites me to come away with Him. To come apart from everything else. Just come unto Him. Come away. This is fellowship with God. It's the ability, even when we're in the midst of duties and responsibilities and whatever is going on, you hear that voice, come away. And in our heart, we can go away with the Lord. This is fellowship with God. Do you know anything about it? Are you familiar with it? Can you identify? Can you say truly, our fellowship is with God? This is fellowship with the Lord. Tenthly, there was a beholding of the Lord. And you know, I realized this week, as you go through the Bible, this is a frequent pattern. There is the voice, and then there is a scene of God. That's what John experienced in the Isle of Patmos. I heard a voice. And then he saw. And you see this pattern repeated throughout. We see it here in verse 8. The voice of my beloved. Behold! He cometh. If he's coming, that means he's getting closer. Doesn't say he goeth. He's coming. It means he's coming closer to me. It's one thing for you and I to draw close to God. It's something entirely different for him to draw close to us. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh. And then she describes how he's coming. He's leaping upon the mountains. He's skipping upon the hills. That is, he's lively.
He's lively. He's doing something. There was a personal vision of God. She could see Him coming to him, to her. This is fellowship with God. Again, as you go through this, as you follow this through, there is a progression. Things just keep getting better and better. The relationship just keeps getting stronger and stronger. And that is fellowship with God. I can preach and preach and preach and preach. But unless you have personal fellowship with God, you don't get it. You're not going to get it. There has to be this personal fellowship with God. Not just every now and then. And then perhaps the best words that describe this fellowship with God are those, again, two words. Come away. Come away. Fellowship with God is coming unto the Lord. It is living above this world. And then notice the end result of fellowship with God. We'll read verses 11 through 13 again. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give us good smell. It's springtime. Fellowship with God, and the winter is past. Many live their entire Christian life in the winter. But when there's fellowship with God, the flowers are blooming. It's springtime. Fellowship with God. Springtime is a time of renewal. As you read those verses, you see renewal. Fellowship with God brings renewal. And we need constant renewing. Springtime is a new beginning. And fellowship with God gives us new beginnings over and over and over again. Springtime is a time of reviving. All of this is found in fellowship with God. Oh, preacher, we need reviving. We need to have a revival meeting. Folks, a revival meeting will not do you any good unless you have fellowship with God. You need to preach on this. You need to preach on that. It will not do any good unless you have fellowship with God. You have got to have fellowship with God. You have got to live personally with God. It will not work any other way. God's people are not going to be revived until God reveals Himself and they spend some time in His shade, and then it just keeps on progressing. And then eventually it's springtime. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful life. Fellowship with God. Are you familiar? Are you familiar with this life? Can you identify? Can you say with the bride, I know what she's talking about. I know what she's talking about. I've sat in His shade. I've experienced His fruit. I know what she's talking about. I've come under His power. I've been brought to the banqueting house. Oh, I know what He's talking about. I live that every day. We ought to be able to say that. That's my life. This needs to be our life. And it can be. And if it's not, it's no one's fault but yourself. Fellowship with God. Oh, what a wonderful life that you and I can live. So I ask you today, can you say, truly, my fellowship is with the Lord? Brother Larry, if you'd come, lead us.